Welcome to the New and Living Way Church, Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His ministers. Be blessed as you listen.
Amen. So today is the grand finale of Sunday School Review. The grand finale because we are reviewing the grand finale of the Sunday School Season of the Spirit. Is that a prophecy? Okay, we're reviewing the grand finale of... Okay, good morning, Prophetess Ola. She's here. Please, can we give it up for her? Thank you. Okay, I'm sorry. It's my mommy. So, we're reviewing the last message or the last meeting for Season of the Spirit. And we had... our pastor, Pastor Laide, ministered to us, as well as Pastor Emeka, who came and also imparted, you know, spirits onto us and brought, you know, a lot of atmosphere to us on that day. And so we're starting with, you know, Pastor Laide's message that day. I remember that during Pastor Laide's ministration, it was more of admonishing us on how to see, you know, our pastors, our parents and our pastors in a light. You know, even throughout the course of, I think, the prayers we had in the week before Sunday, because we're praying every day before for Season of the Spirit. I don't know if we remember. And, you know, Pastor Laide kept admonishing us on how that we have to see our pastors. You know, we have to reference them because how we reverence them. We have treated this before, you know, but... just to emphasize it, how we see them, how we reverence them is, you know, is going to be a determinant of what we are going to receive from them. You know, so one of the things that Pastor Laide also emphasized was that our prosperity is tied to our pastors, you know, and when that statement was made, I'm sorry, I'm a very dramatic person, but when that statement was made, I just had this, you know, play in my head when we were watching Hollywood and somebody goes to visit all these witch doctors and then I give them this person and say, hold this thing, make sure you sleep with it, make sure you wake up with it, make sure you do this, do that. Your destiny is tied to this thing. You know, so that's the picture that was tied to my head. Like, so literally, our destinies are tied to our pastors. So I think I'm going to be starting Boremigo K this morning. So please, sir, can you share with us if there have been ways that, you know, you have seen this statement evident in your life? If you have, you know, this statement that Pastor Laide made, that, you know, our prosperity is tied to our pastors, have you experienced it? Have you seen it evident that, it's true, it's very true? If I don't reverence our pastors, if I don't hold them, you know, in high esteem, my prosperity, both in the natural and the spirit, is not going to, you know, comfort. Have you seen it play out? And if you have, can you share with us how you were able to, you know, what were the things that you were able to keep? How did you do it that you were able to, you know, when they say your prosperity is tied to somebody, is okay, I've heard, but how am I going to now receive the prosperity as my prosperity is with this person? I have to do something to bring forth that prosperity. So what are the things or what areas did you, you know, see these things or were able to walk in them so that you could see a visible prosperity, you know, in every area and facet of your life? I don't know if you understand my question. You understand? Okay, thank you, sir.
Good morning, church. Good morning, my daddies and mommies. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Good morning, Pastor Laide. Good morning, Pastor Rose. Good morning, Pastor Moses. Good morning, Pastor Biodun. Well, I thank God for this time. I thank God for encouragement. I thank God for the prayers that were not answered. Because if God has answered some prayers, we won't be here today. Severally, I've been in situations where I did not discern my pastors well. Not because I outrightly looked down on them. I just felt I shouldn't route that particular thing through them. Do we understand? Like, I just felt maybe this decision is not exclusive to them in church now. It's my life. Is it pastor that will sit down with me in exam hall? Or something like that. Is it pastor that will go to work with me? I found myself in such situations several times where I did not discern them well. In short, it takes a longer time to come into that thing when it says that your heart, you should maintain a clear heart towards your authority. Sometimes it's beyond words. It's beyond kneeling down and serving them water. Kneeling down and serving them food. It's about sitting down and determining in your heart that this thing, I will not do it until I've heard from my authorities. And even if at all their answer wants to push me into the bush, or wants to push me into the well, I will stick with it. So for me, it took long before I saw it this way. Yes, we are hearing word of righteousness. Yes, we are coming to church. Some of us are even workers. Some of us, we attend meetings back to back, Monday to Saturday. But it takes a longer time to come into this reality. So I did not discern them well when I want to make some decisions. That's my bad. Because somehow it fought with my establishment in this word of righteousness. Word of righteousness is not something that is new, something unique in town, or something in vogue. Word of righteousness is something that should groom us. It's a lifestyle, it's a manner of life that they are showing us. It's not just in preaching, it's not just in talking about revelation. So I have found myself severally not discerning my authority, particularly somebody like me that even lived under pastor's roof. I was so much of a mess. When I mean a mess, I was so much of a mess. I can completely say it. I'm so sorry, Pastor Rose. I was so much of a mess to Pastor Rose. Pastor Rose cleaned a lot of my mess. Because when I came, I was so raw. When I mean I was so raw, like, I just do things shabbily. Sometimes I don't even look back to get feedback. So I had not even discerned them. Like, I was not seeing what God wanted me to see, that your breakthrough is not far. Your breakthrough is not in the north. Your breakthrough is not in the south. This is where your breakthrough is. And until you break through here, that is where you can break through in the bigger one. So I failed to see that. To the extent that, and Satan is so wicked, he will throw things at you to disbelieve them. He will throw, in short, the way Satan will orchestrate some things, he will come in such a way that you can easily escape them. Satan is so wicked. Like, he will start, and I remember, let me give a scenario. I remember concerning Job, doing something. I didn't like not doing something in my life. I don't like sitting down. God now brought me to Pastor Lydie. Hey. And Pastor Lydie was somebody that has came to flog hasty people. In short, pastor cannot stand hastiness. Even in the legitimate things, you just have to calm down. So after I've thought about it, I take it to pastor, and pastor does not have anything to say. Pastor will just shake his head like this. I said, go and bring me my food. To me, that was so rude. Sometimes pastor would allow me. I'm saying this because I was privileged to live under his roof. Those were the times that I didn't want to. Sometimes I will not be blaming myself. Why did I even take it to pastor self? Something that I was just going to supposed to do. But then it took long before I encountered the Lord. Now, what did I do first? I heard from a sister advising another sister one day that pray. When you had loggerheads with authority, pray. The word was not for me, so I didn't take it. I was going my way. I don't want to mention you. So I was going my way. Then I remembered when I got home, the Lord now tell me that, have you for once mentioned their names? Any authority that you have issues with, descending them or honoring them, have you for once mentioned their name in the place of prayer? Even if I thought there is nothing that you want to ask the Lord for on their behalf, just mention their name. So I started with that. When I started with that, I didn't see results. Until I met a brother at Believers Convention. That brother now said, he just asked me, how are you doing? I said, I'm not fine. He said, I see everybody's against me. Brother said, wait, I'm coming. The I'm coming was like till, let me say, the evening section. So I went to meet him after the evening session again. The brother said, I should still wait. But me, I cannot wait. So I want to go and sleep, eat and sleep. We know how long the queue is at for food. The brother said, I will still see you this night. And I think I was already sleeping in my hostel. He called me. And he told me to dress up and come out. So that was where I was. Me, I wanted to go there and go and tell him that, don't you know I'm sleeping? Don't you know, like, we can... He carried, the first thing I saw was Bible. Big one. As dark as Faith Plaza Hall was that. As dark as Faith Plaza Hall was, we sat down there. And he went, like, there was so much grace that day. There was so much grace. As dizzy as I was, he just went straight to the point. He went straight. He said, this thing that you are doing is wrong. It's totally wrong. He was like, you are shutting the heaven over you. I feel you are not carrying the people along. That is necessary to be carried along. So I kept quiet. I was looking at him that, I've not told you anything now. This, he said, I feel you shouldn't be suffering like this. The height of what he now told me was that he said, if you live where you are living, where you are, that's pastors. He said, it's as if they have called you to come and see their nakedness. So it's now left to you what you want to do with it. If you want to expose it or if you want to cover it. That thing shook me and he held my hands and we prayed. He shook me. So by the time I went in to sleep, I was thinking about that naked part. I was like, yeah, nakedness. It was like for people to bring into their home. They're exposing their nakedness. They want you to come and see them. And it's now left to me what I'm going to do with it. If I'm supposed to cover it or expose it. That thing shook me from there. And I remembered the sister I overheard. So I started praying that, Lord, help me. Just help me. I don't know what to do. I am arranged in another way. I am not arranged for all these things. Sometimes when I see people trying to say, let me take that, I just say, eye service. Or something like that. Like, ah. But then, I started getting breakthrough. So that I had issues. Oh, issues. Simple things. I can't be mentioning them because of time, but simple things will just become issue for me. Maybe just for me to apologize to somebody. I'll say, me, I will not apologize. And I will go and sit down and be thinking, I will not me apologize. Mm-mm. But then, as I started carrying my authorities along, I developed, first thing was that I learned to be, after praying, I learned to be open-minded. When I approach my authorities, I tell them exactly how it is in my heart. Praise God. Tell them exactly, when you want to submit, don't submit with the, or when you want to tell them something, don't tell them, some of us, we know how to do half-truth, half-lie. So you keep those informations. And so I had to the extent that when I, that thing affected, when I started talking to pastor again, I discovered that I feel light. Now those times I'll be so heavy because I don't know what I'm going to expect, or I don't know if somebody's going to throw my ideas under the... So, when pastor now talks to me back or tells me, okay, this is, pastor may not even directly say, do this or do that. I just found grace to tell him that this is how I feel. This thing is going to pain me. This thing is going to pain me. And from there, I found grace. And pastor would like, obey. It doesn't take how long. It's how far, how you obey. So sometimes I'll go back. I feel bad. But then I'll now think about it that if I can open my mouth and tell the person giving me advice that this is how I don't feel like taking this advice, then I should just find grace. So I prayed and I opened up to brethren. I prayed and I opened up to brethren. You cannot keep, you are having issues with authority, you can't keep it to yourself. Trust me, devil will always supply you with reasons why you should go far. Devil will always, in short, he will bring up instances. He will bring up things to accuse. But when you are just opened, like you are opened, particularly jobs, I remember jobs, pastor will say, don't take this job. And I'll feel that this job has all the prospects I need. Maybe later on, after years, I didn't take the job. I will not say, thank God I did not take this job. Oh. But pastor said, don't go. Devil will arrange things. Because I remember one of the jobs, it was even my school mother in school. The person I used to call school mother that gave me the job. He gave me, printed my ID card the same day. Only for me to go and meet daddy. And daddy said, you're not serious. And anytime I'm pained like this, I will now go inside and lock myself in. I will not come out. If they are doing devotion, I will not come out. Because I'm not seeing a particular. It's going to be like that. If you are doing devotion, I will not come out. Because I am fighting with God. There has been a time that I even came to church in a service. I'm sorry, I'm taking long. I had come to church. I'm struggling. Pastor is trying to take something away from me. Me too, I'm struggling. So I came to church. The Sunday school. By the leading of the Spirit, I went towards that direction again. I felt this was me. I just stood up and walked away. It was like that for me. Like I just stood up. My heart was so heavy. I wanted to burst. Do you not know what happened? I think I was to lead worship after. I'm going to round up now. I was to lead worship after. I remember this day very, very well. Because it's my own salvation. It's what the Lord used. I remember this day very, very well. Because I sure knew that I was singing songs. Then towards the end of my worship, I started singing this song. You will not suffer my foot to be moved. I carry your presence everywhere. Who am I? That your mind is so full of me. I'm a mortal man. Awesome. Those days were not cleft days. Mortal man, you are the awesome God. Just right about pastor coming up to preach. It was just like from my own lips myself. I just heard, like I just sang it as much. I want your mind to be so full of me. I sang it, Annie. As I went to sit down, the Lord said, it's you. And I felt like, almost like I just peace for body you. Why would I say something like that? I was like, if I remember that it's me, I will not sing that song. I will just go and keep it. I got up and I went to repent in that day. Like, that. Why is God saying that? Let your mind, leave this thing. Let your mind be so full of me. So that's the two ways that works for me. Anytime I'm having, I pray, I mention their names in my prayers. I mention their names in my prayer. Lord, give me the heart of pastor. Give me the heart of my agent. Give me the heart of this person. And at the end of the day, I open up to somebody. I just talk. I'm somebody that if I like you, if you're around me, I'll just talk around you. If I don't talk, trust me. So I just talk. And I discover that maybe after talking, maybe the person replies me. Something will just melt. I don't know if you're like that. Something will just melt. Something that looks like high mountain will just melt. And I'll find grace. Sometimes I may not go. I don't know. Sometimes I don't go like that. Sometimes the first try yourself is error. Something like that. So, but you find grace and you find out that it becomes your life in decision making, in whatever it is. It's not, you don't even have to go to pastors just because you have something to do. Sometimes you just go around them and gist. Praise God. Because in the middle of that gisting, your darkness will show like this. I'm somebody like that. I don't know how to set stage. Daddy is here. Thank God. Pastor Daddy is here. I don't really know how to set stage. That I want to see. I just go around him and just, and trust me, my darkness will start shouting, I'm here, oh, I'm here. Because in the middle of that gist, they will tell me something that I just, And I have to go. And you know that pastor's suggestion sometimes is commandment. Just a lot of times is commandment. So pastor will just suggest, maybe in passing. And I just, This is how we are supposed to do about it. Why am I even stressing myself? Why am I trying to build monuments? So, praise the Lord.
Good morning, our pastors and parents of God. Good morning, our mommies. Good morning, our leaders and our pastors, our brother and sisters, our elder brother and sisters. Good morning, everybody. So I think from everything that Brokwe has said, what I did take out of it is that we all come to this church with different arrangements already in our souls.
Yes.
You know, and that's even part of what we learned in Sunday school today. We already have precepts and lines that has already been formed in us, you know. So if you find yourself struggling, me, I'm speaking to myself. If you find yourself struggling to submit, just understand that it's just a life that was already there. You know, so it shouldn't be, you shouldn't now then, you know, feel like what they are preaching to us is wrong. I know that many of us have come to a place where we've accepted the precept, submit to spiritual authority. But the doing of it is a struggle. But, you know, it's just seeing that at least now that Brokwe has conquered some things, I know that I can also, you know, conquer some things also in the place of submitting to our pastors. Because the truth is, we've been raised with an independent lifestyle. We want to do things ourselves. We want to be the God of our lives, you know. So to be able to wait, to have our pastors interject in our life is the struggle, you know. So these are truths of Jesus, like we've been taught. These are precepts that we must accept. And it's a line or a life that we must tell ourselves, yes, I don't know how to do it now. I find myself still struggling to submit. But this is a truth in Jesus. Jesus is submitted under God eternally. So if I cannot submit, you know, to our pastors that we see in person, you can't submit to Jesus. That's just the truth, you know. So reading 2 Chronicles 20 verse 20, that was a scripture that Pastor had touched on that ministration. And I'm going to read it. It says, believe in the Lord your God. 2 Chronicles 20:20. I'm reading like the part that Pastor picked from. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. So that's where we actually took, Pastor took rather this teaching from. Letting us see that our prosperity indeed is tied to a man that God has raised for us. You know, so I think this question would be to Brabanjo. Do you always believe in the men of God that God has placed under us? Have you had times when maybe your belief in them was wavering? Have your belief in them maybe come under attack, right? And how did you go about it? How did you come back to, you know what, these are the men God has raised for us. I must believe them through and through. Brabanjo.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. I'm sorry.
Volume, please.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm having problem raising my head. But please accept me like that. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Pastor Moses, Pastor Rose, Pastor Shegun, all the HODs. Okay. I'll try, but okay. So Bible said, I think Ephesians chapter 3 said, praying for the church, said, under which the family in heaven and on earth is named, right? So there is a family we belong to as believers, the household of faith, and I believe the moment I came personally, for instance, into the house, I've joined a family, right, a spiritual household that also has hierarchy and a structure, right, from our granddaddy to our daddy and then to the pastor in the house. So, well, probably because of my background before now, not so perfect though, I necessarily in that regard, it's just a matter of understanding. It's not a matter of disregarding or having issues with pastor or authority, as it were. So it's a matter of understanding that this person or this has been set as the authority over you, right? So I think it was Pastor Tyre that brought it to limelight, and Pastor Tosin. Pastor Tosin said it even the last time. He said, Pastor Lide is the angel of the Lord over this house. He's the one that can move things. I think that was the word. He said he's the one that can move things. So if I come to the understanding of I have to be prosperous in the things of God, I cannot be prosperous outside him. That's just how it is. There's no, it's nothing to doubt or it's nothing to dilly-dally about, right? Except if I want to be named under another family, which, of course, I can choose to or choose to stay. So with that understanding, like I've said, it's a matter of understanding. I have conditioned my heart in a way that encourage me to remain steadfast in the fact that I cannot prosper in the things of God for my life if I'm outside this shield. That's thirsty. So I constantly remind myself, I constantly bring myself to that awareness. There are times, there are thoughts that come. At times I may be walking past pastor and, oh, good afternoon, sir. And it's like he didn't even respond, not to talk of his head or something. And, you know, thought will come like, what is he feeling? Like, is he feeling like you are not even existing, you know? But then I also encourage myself that, okay, service is going on. Pastor is a man of the spirit and he's just burdened that, okay, what is the Lord saying for this? So that second thought just come as an encouragement that it is a burden for the meeting. So any other thing physical really necessarily at that moment doesn't count. So afterwards, of course, pastor will hug and that one will now become, you know, a consolation that you see. You know, these are just conversations. The devil is very mad. It's very crazy, actually. You know, you don't bring thoughts. Simple things like greeting and not responding, or maybe seeing, you know, there are times you may want to come to church, you come to church and you're expecting, oh, how are you? And like, you're not the only one that is existing in the church. There are so many people. So why should you feel so important that you demand such? So, and the devil just bring thought and all that, but constantly I've encouraged myself that, oh, I need to prosper in the things of God, but it is under this authority and nothing should shift me regardless of whatever it is. So that's just the encouragement that has come to me over time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Robanjo. How many people does pastor want to hug in church? Even me, I cannot hug everybody. There are some people that I used to ask them every Sunday that, please, what's your name? I can't remember. More talk more of pastor. You know, so devil brings funny, very, very funny thoughts. I remember Mommy Ellen's testimony that she shared of how a pastor sent her on an errand. And she came back. Before she got to deliver the errand, the devil already spoke to her and told her that she will not even acknowledge you. She'll just take it as if, okay. And it actually happened. It happened exactly like that. You know, so I remember one analogy that Pastor Leke used to give us in Ghana then. He used to say that, you know, when we used to, you know how we lie now? If I want to lie now, somebody calls me, where are you? I'm at garage. Meanwhile, I'm at home. You know, that is the kind of lie we used to lie. But the father of lies, the way he lies to us, he will tell you that I'm at garage. And you will get there, you will see him at garage, but he's not there. So that his own lie is advanced, you know. So that is where, you know, people draw their, you know, every other, you know, thing spans from. You know, so devil is a liar. I just want to emphasize that he's a liar and the father of lies. And especially about authority, he always wants to, he will tell you lies. Lies that you are looking at it like this, you are, is here, but it's a lie. So I just want to reemphasize that to us so that we will know that he's Satan. He's not anything. He's not real. He's not true. He's Satan. I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So I particularly want to hear from Brokpe, you know. One of the things our pastor said was that one of our greatest undoings is familiarity. And from all the things that you have said, especially, you know, you stayed with pastor and all of that, you know, so if you stay with pastors, you will know that familiarity is a war that you have to fight. You know, so that's familiarity. I know that you might have experienced it before. No, I'm coming from this angle, but it's not just even about maybe proximity. I can be familiar with pastors like, there was a particular time that I fought a warfare personally now. That what just kept coming to my head was, Mommy Ellen is just, she keeps saying cliche things. If she comes up now, I know what she will say. Commandments, instruction. And I was literally fighting. The devil kept saying that thing repeatedly until I started not liking Mommy Ellen. You know, I had to tell my brother now, you know, fight that warfare. So I don't know if you have had any experiences like that where familiarity tried to set in, you know, and how were you able to like come out of it? How were you able to? Or first of all, how did you even see the effect of familiarity in your life? Because I know it has effects. For pastors to say that it is one of our greatest undoings, it has an effect. And the effect is definitely going to be negative. So what effect did it have in you? How was the Lord able to show you that you're already getting familiar, come out of this thing? And how did you come out of it?
Praise God. Okay. At first, when I started hearing that word, familiarity, I went to check the dictionary meaning of it. Because I was somebody that I could easily, or let me say, there's a conversation that I was raised with. You know, Yorubas, we like this awarawa, tirirawa, or this, you be my brother now, something like that. So, that was what I knew as familiarity before I came into the waters. But then, I now knew that familiarity is not just click or trying to form that I have alliance with somebody. When I disrespect somebody behind them, when I choose not to respect someone or respect his words or his wishes, somehow familiarity is hiding somewhere. And one thing I know that the Lord spoke to us strongly about in this just concluded season of the Spirit is familiarity. I caught that in my spirit. I caught that so early into the meeting that the Lord wants you to go back again. And observe the Lord wants me to go back into my heart and go and tidy up some places. So it was, and I discovered that there was struggle. Because I remember, was it when Pastor Precious was ministering, the Lord said, if you find yourself struggling, I have not appeared. If you find yourself struggling with something in the secret place of your heart, not even in the open, I have not appeared there. So I started looking at everybody. I started looking at how I esteem them. Trust me. It's not because I esteem everybody positively. Somewhere I felt there are some people that just do yes, I just go and do your own after. So I remember it was in the middle of the season of the Spirit. I don't know. I think I was going to work or something like that. The Lord now showed me particular scriptures that buttressed that point. Because this familiarity thing, it was something that I felt the Lord wanted to use this season of the Spirit to take care of. So the Lord showed me like Mark chapter 6, 1 to 6. I would like if you can project it. Mark chapter 6. It was a story. I used to like story, the story parts of scriptures a lot. He says, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could then do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the village teaching. I saw the mannerism through which familiarity came in these scriptures. I saw the mannerism myself. Short, I knew what could pass for familiarity. When we start asking some questions, trust me, familiarity is locking around. When we start asking some, because I saw that there were questions. Is this not the younger brother? Is this not the younger sister? Something like that. And I saw that, okay, this is what the Lord wants of me this time. And to finish that scripture, it says that he could not do any mighty work. Jesus could not do anything because of familiarity. We just think familiarity is something simple, but we don't know that we have cut short our blessing. It's a different thing for the Lord to come into a meeting with blessings, and it's a different thing to receive the blessing. So I discovered that familiarity is something that we should not allow. Trust me, they will rise. They will rise, because I discovered that seasons in God, is not guided by clocks and calendars. I tell people around me. He's not guided by certificates. He's not guided by age group. We find that amidst us, even we brethren, we look like, me and this person, we joined EGFM the same time now. So we should get married the same time. It's a lie. We can even think that, it's me that even brought this person to, my family. No. Seasons in God is not guided by clocks and calendars. The earlier we know, the better we raise into our establishment. So when you come into the waters, go and remove some things first. That I want to be moving at the same pace everybody is moving. No. The Lord knows how to route each other's life. And if we don't accept, that's when Satan will bring all these questions that we see in Mark chapter 6. We start asking questions. Where does he come from, Seth? That person that they brought as our new HOD. Where is he coming from, Seth? When did he join these waters? This. Mushadre join now. Something like that. That's how familiarity steps into place. Me personally now, I know that somehow God treated that in my heart. When I was living with pastor, there is a different daddy at home. There is a different person I see in church as pastor. I don't know. For those that have lived with pastor, I don't know if you are like me, but me, at the inception, that was how I used to see it. Like there was a different person at home. There's a different person in church. Now that looks like Steve, whatever pastor says in church is always so high. But at home, if he just tells me, pick that thing, I understand. And I do it fast. So I could not marry the two entity. And the reason why I could not marry the two entity was because somewhere offense was lurking around or somewhere I felt I have something to say to or to add. So it was so high, like when I see Pastor at home, the way Pastor comes into a brother, because Pastor creates time for us. Pastor just comes to play with us, brothers in the room, ask us questions, and just play with us. And in church, Pastor will give just one command. I remember that command where he said we should buy gifts for somebody. I questioned that thing in my head till I reached home. Why should we buy gifts? Why should I buy gifts? She didn't want to kill us. He will still come and meet us in the house. I will give, I trust mommy. Mommy will pack food. Mommy will do this. I did not see that as a commandment until I think a prophecy came after that time. I was now feeling so bad. I was like, why didn't I buy this gift? It will not cost me anything. Why did I? Prophecy came. And prophecy, like all these tongues and interpretation, it scares me. Like, sorry, it scares me because I know that they did not arrange it. It's not as if they met each other somewhere. I know that, where did Lord say something that pastor said before? I remember sometimes pastor said, money is coming. I laughed in my mind, money in these waters. And I said, lo and behold, I heard with my two ears. Two brethren got job. If you see the job they got there, I was like, me, I'm just here all this way. What's wrong with me now? Before I knew that actually God is mindful of us, but because of this familiarity, we just play people. Even, I'm not just talking about authorities. Now let's look into our brethren circle. There are some people that we disregard them. Maybe because they don't have a pastor to their name. Or because they don't have an HOD to their name. Me, I'm somebody that I've benefited from. Maybe I just found grace sitting down beside the brethren. I just opened a part of me to the brethren. I may just, the answer that you are stressing pastor, you are calling pastor for, you can just be from that person. Sometimes the Lord can just say, sit down and just look at, I've had that experience before. I think at SOS, the Lord say, sit down and just look at this person. Look at this person. Just look. So we should learn not to disregard, despise. It's a thing of the soul. Don't let me lie to you. It's a thing of the soul. Sometimes we started with honoring and it got to a place we just got tired. Or we felt, they call it see finish. We have seen everything. There's nothing more again. We must pay attention to our souls. That's what I saw about season of the spirit. That word coming at the season of the spirit. That we must learn to, we must always be at alert. In such a way that when I see that I'm losing respect for somebody, I must call myself to order. And peradventure, if we have people around us that can call us to order, let us take correction. Don't let us find excuse. Because sometimes, you won't know. It could be as simple as you want to carry food. I lived in the house. Sisters, you want to serve food. I just drop it. I was just, you know, as brothers, you can just move the plate to you like this. It could be that it's that. It could be that the Lord said, this person, I've heard the Lord said, this person you can no longer call him by name again, publicly or privately. The Lord used to put all these things to help our hearts, because it's our establishment that we are all gunning for. Me, I want to be rooted, grounded. I don't know about you. I don't want to be shabby. It doesn't matter how long it takes, but the Lord wants us to reach that place where you'll be established, where you cannot be removed, where nothing can pluck us from his hand. So sometimes it could be our brethren. Don't try and esteem some people. It's just to the extent that pastor will now say, talk to a particular person. Hey, you will now rise. Me, talk to that person. The person that me and you know. Me, I cannot talk to that person. All right, the pastor will say, go and ask that person. And you feel what they want to ask. Or somehow, you just look at your brethren. Some of us, we know how to size meetings. So as I just opened that door, just look at everybody inside. Oh, I'm better than just lock. Wow. Let me go and wait for the people that have revelation. When they come, I'll now come and join. No. Despising, it can be so subtle. So it took long before I could marry pastor in church with the pastor I used to see at home. Sometimes I just, the pastor wants to discipline me after pastor preaches in church. Why did pastor come home and it's me? They are flogging with words. So it took long before the Lord told me that, you know what, just honor. And when you want to honor, just swallow everything. Swallow your rights. Swallow your accomplishment. Swallow everything and just hide your head. It can be like that. It's to the extent where even when you are offended, you will not raise your heart. Praise God. It's possible. Satan knows how to do it. Even at the crux of it. Because I listened to one Mommy Ellen's message one time. Mommy Ellen said they left a church. Because, I don't know, I remember that message. A friend, a sister, was molested by a pastor. Mommy Ellen was like, where they were even praying, the Lord told them that they must not speak evil of this man of God. Well, Mommy Ellen said, she said that she knows that they will call them together. And you know, at that point where they call you together, you feel, oh, let me talk. Let me say everything. He said, the Lord said, you must not say anything. And I looked by myself, hey, can I do this? Looking at the person that my profession self. Hey, if I see Lupo, I will build it and I'll shoot it. Bah! Because that's my profession. I look at Lupo's. Yes. Ah, I was like, hey, can I do this? I just look at it. But at the same time, I found grace. As time goes on, you find that there is no offense that is so high, that the power of God cannot bring down. There is nothing that is so high, hanging in the, because offense can hang in the atmosphere. There is no, that by just opening up, or rather, swallowing your pride that God, anything can happen to me. I don't mind if I'm supposed to take the fall in this situation. You find out that thing will just fizzle out. Praise God.
Thank you so much, bro. Okay. I think sometimes when we read scriptures, you know, you'd see some words and you'd be wondering, what does this even mean? So, if you've ever looked at the word, you know, high-mindedness, it just explains that thing play out in our lives, what it looks like. That's where somewhere we are high-minded. You know, sometimes it's our class, the status, the experience, the skills. Those are the things that makes us look down on ourselves. Or I'm older than this person. That's some of the things where, you know, when you look at the age, we're the same age now. This is somebody you're supposed to submit under because they're actually higher up in the spirit than you. They've journeyed ahead of you. And I think another thing that breeds familiarity with our pastors and, you know, ourselves individually is, you know, when we see people's infirmities, you only see the infirmity, but you don't know, you don't see the work the Lord has already done in them, you know. Sometimes the Lord, there's just like an obvious infirmity that will never go. And somewhere, Satan can use that to deceive us to think this person is not journeying. I know there are some people that are actually maybe not obeying in the way they should. Maybe that thing should have dropped if they were obeying. But the truth is, sometimes the Lord leaves infirmities just to see, would you still be able to submit to this person? Yeah. Would you still be able to obey the law of honoring your brethren and your spiritual authority in spite of what you are saying? You know, so thank you so much, Brother Ope. We still have, you know, quite a number of questions to answer. So, you know, the law is sitting here. You leave, You know, so we'll just try and, you know, shorten our responses, keep it as, you know, give it the force, but with shorter time. So we're going into Pastor Mika's session, and we're definitely missing Sister Faye. So we're going into Pastor Mika's session, and if we do remember, we started that particular day, you know, with, you know, listening to a prophecy of Papa Egan, you know, and from somebody like me, you know, we're always referencing Jane Lade, you know, all of these prophecies that I was not even born. I don't think my parents had even married then, you know. So it's like, these are the things, and it looks true. It aligns with what we're currently hearing, you know. So I think the question to, I'm sorry, Pastor Brock, I'm going to put you on the spot again. You know, Pastor Mika said a generation can be marked for prophecy and miss it. This is us paraphrasing. This means that, you know, a prophecy can be hanging over us as a generation, as an individual, because we do have, you know, prophecies in church. You know, sometimes we're praying with our brethren, prophecies come, things like that. You know, and even the prophecies of our parents of old, right, that have gone to be with the Lord. How can this happen, and how can we avoid it?
Praise the Lord. It's possible to miss it. There can be prophecy hanging over us, and we'll miss it. I'm going to use myself as an example. The Lord might have said some things about me, but before I walked into it, it took long. And the reason was because I never paid attention to my reason on time. Praise God. Pastor used to say some things, that the Lord is not in haste. The Lord is not in a haste. If he doesn't bring it at this generation, if this generation is ready, you will wait for the generations unborn. It's good. The meeting is wonderful. He said this, he said that, but it does not matter that we have automatic entrance or automatic claim over those things. We have to work it out. We have to be faithful. And funny thing about prophecy is that Satan too is standing somewhere where he's warring with us in such a way that we will not come into this thing. But I don't know the reason why my generation, let's say these Gen Z believers, we don't used to know that Satan is hanging somewhere. We just think maybe it's because they declared it in meetings and we'll enter into it. No, we will not enter into it. We won't until we have labored in the place of prayer. We have labored in the place of study. But until the Lord has brought understanding to us. Understanding. Like I remember when the meeting kickstarted that day, when Daddy was saying things, and I remember that me, I didn't even understand. But I now remember that Pastor said that angels are co-stakeholder in administering the blessings of the Lord. We have to just walk with angels in such a way that we can assess those blessings. So I prophecy can come, but at the same time, you have made one decision that made you veer off. So the Lord will do a lot. I remember I was listening to Pastor Tunji Adegoke, and one revelation. He was talking about recalibration. I don't know if somebody remembers that message. I was afraid that day. He was like saying, if you just miss one thing, as small as you are, because I looked at my small self then. It was like, before the Lord will realign you again, he will take you through a longer route. If the Lord shows you mercy. So, as a young person in this generation, it's possible. It is very possible for the Lord to say something and it's not looking like it. It's possible for the Lord to say, you'll be rich. But somehow, maybe you have made just one tiny decision that took you a wire. Now, I say that we should just ensure that we are walking in love. Just ensure that you're walking in love. Ensure that you are doing what you are doing. I'm going to round up now. Like, I'm somebody that when the Lord says something over me and I'm not walking in that reality, I do what Pastor Lady tells me to do. That go back to what the Lord has said before. That's what I do. That's when you see me go and look for my sermon notes. If the Lord says I'm going to pass a particular exam and I failed, I will go back to what the Lord said before that time. Because they are all in connection. God's words is not distorted. So if you are somebody that the Lord has said something, or you are, there's a prophecy and you are looking, I've not entered it, I've not, go back to what he has said before. Stay there till grace comes. So that's what I do. But it's possible for a generation to miss prophecy by our walk, by not, this familiarity too is there. Maybe the person that the Lord has says that this is your blessing, this is the person that will bring you up, you are not even seeing the person at all. And the person is around. And the person, if they count, they call you now, come and mention your top three. The person is not even there. So, praise God.
Thank you.
Give him a round of applause. Okay, so I want to remind us that if you have any questions, we should have questions, actually. We should have, if you listen to the message, we should have questions. Even me, I have questions. So please, let's write them down and pass it to the ushers so that we don't lose those thoughts. Amen. Yeah, so you want to say something? Okay, please.
Sorry, I just want to add something that came to mind. The Bible was saying that the church was founded on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Right, so in addition, I just want to add a perspective that, okay, we can miss prophecy, but also what should be our heart posture so as not to miss it as well. All right, so I feel that for every season, just like we plant things, you know, in the natural, some of us have, even in our workplaces, we have Q1, Q2, and what have you, all planned out. Right, we should also understand that the spiritual controls the physical. Right, so nothing is happening by default, even in the natural. Some things have been settled in the spirit. So as a way of being wise, we should also recognize that every season has something hanging over it. Whether you see it or not, something is just hanging over it. So again, it is not to start looking for it as though it is that lost. If you can't connect to it, it's also fine. It's just the level of growth. But one can maintain the heart posture of living by every word. Like living, the Bible said, if we walk in the spirit, we should also, they did put Galatians 5, if we live in the spirit, we should also walk exactly. So we should live by every word. Those little promptings, those little leading of the spirit can equally help us by God's mercy into walking, you know, into prophecies and not missing it as a disadvantage.
Thank you. That was actually needed. You know, I remember one time, I think it was a birthday prayer, or I can't remember what happened. Then I had a prophecy for myself, and then I went to submit it, and in submitting it, I was in school, so maybe one of the gathered pastors, and they were like, okay, no problem. And I think it was Pastor Ike, Pastor Akogun, was telling me on how that we need to war with prophecy. So it's not just enough for prophecy to just come. Prophecy, because sometimes you can have the habit of, we hear prophecy, oh, the Lord is going to do this, the Lord is going to, you are going to a new realm, a new this, you know, and we are like, okay, and we are folding our hands, expecting it to play out, you know. So it's one place to receive prophecy. It's another place to war, to keep the prophecy. Amen. You know, so Bokwe mentioned something that it just drew my mind back to, you know, the meeting, and he was talking about how Pastor Emeka was talking about angels and all of that. You know, so I remember in the meeting, Pastor Emeka, after we listened to, you know, the prophecy from Reverend Kenneth Egan, then Pastor Emeka now in a very soft voice, he just felt the presence of angels, and he just said, they are here, angels are here, you know. And, you know, we had a lot of prophecy coming here and there on, you know, the angels, and the prophecies were majorly talking about how that we should learn, you know, we should discern angels, learn to discern angels. We should, you know, because it just showed the importance of angels, how that we need them in our walk. We need, you know, we actually need angels. You know, sometimes we might be feeling like we don't want to be too spooky and all, you know, but you see, when we see our daddy, Reverend Kayode, you know, teaching about angels, breaking them down, you come for a meeting and he's literally what he's teaching is angels, and there are different realms. You know, so, you know, precepts cannot come if you don't need it to work. So it just shows that angels are a very important, you know, aspect of our work. And, you know, it just takes my mind back to, you know, people that, you know, prophets and our, you know, patriarchs in the faith, and how they journeyed with angels, you know, how they walked with angels. Imagine Jacob warring with an angel. Imagine Abraham welcoming angels. It just shows that, you know, angels are actually important. So I don't know if, Brobanjo, if you can tell us if you've, you know, if the Lord has given you instructions on how to walk with these angels. Because walking with angels, we don't, there can be a, will I call it a misbalance? You know, there can be it can be shaky. We can, for example, now somebody cannot be like, oh, okay, they say we should descend angel. We'll now go and go to the room and start praying. I want to see angels. I want to see men like trees. You know, and there's now a desire to now want to, you know, be into the extreme of it. But we need them for the ministration. You know, Bible says, scripture says that they are ministering spirits to minister for us, you know, unto salvation. You know, paraphrasing now. So I don't know if you have received any instructions from the Lord on how to receive the ministry of angels, how to welcome angels, or how that we need to discern angels so that they can help us in our walk currently on earth.
Oh, thank you. Picking from where you stopped, the Hebrews chapter 1, I think verse 14, was talking about how that are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That is, those who are to inherit salvation. All right, so again, we are not, I think Daddy emphasized it, that don't go looking for them. Right. Mark 16 also said, they went out, you know, give me Mark 16, I think the last verse, confirming the word with signs and wonders following. I think around the, yes. And they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. So, what I'm just trying to say is stay with the word, right? When you stay with the word, signs and wonders are to confirm the word, all right? So the ministry of angels are for those who are going to inherit salvation. The salvation inheritance thing is also in the word. So our staying with the word is what we invite the angels, actually, or angels as it were. Everybody have guardian angel or what have you, you know, and angels do the biddings of the Lord. We can see that even in Psalms 103, I think the last three verses there about. So staying with the word, what is the word of God saying? How even Jesus himself, when he was praying, I can't remember that scripture now, that I think it was about his passion, that Bible said angels came to strengthen him. He didn't even ask for it, but he was at the center of the will of God. So God knows what we need. That's also the point. God knows what we need as long as we are abiding and staying under him, staying with the word. If what we need to scale through that moment is an angel supply, he would supply it. If we need angel in form of men, he would supply it. So it's just the supply of God. But the key thing is necessarily not go looking for them, because we may not have attained stature. So we'll encounter a whole lot of things. Though by provision of mercy, sort of, I remember back then in school when we went for village outreach and all that, and we engaged in so much prayer. By mercy, I just perceived the Lord opened my eyes that day. I can't really describe it, but I saw movement like lightning there. So it just occurred to me that this thing is real. Even going to work at times, for instance, I may not eat at home, and there's no money. The only money with me is just transport, exact transport to take me to work and be back. And I'm hungry. So, and the kind of work I do, of course, I teach, I talk a whole lot, I get exhausted. But then something just wells up within me that you can trust the Lord for provision. And somehow I just acknowledge the angel of the Lord for supply. And somehow, somebody would just surprise me, you know, even with something I cannot use my money to buy and just bring it and wow. So it encourages me that this thing is real. Just because I stayed with the promptings that, okay, this thing can be possible. So when we stay with the word and it is the true word of God, the will of God for us, because also Bible says when we pray according to his will, it's not just all prayers, but according to his will. So staying with the word brings the manifestation of angels and we can enjoy their provision.
Okay, to add what my brother said, we stay with the word and we submit our curriculum to an authority. I'm saying this with fear in my heart because I've lost a lot of brethren. Because, they say we should stay with the word, and from that word, they will see something else. From that word, they will see things that will make them enter walls and break out. At the next, some of us will say, some of them will say, yeah, they are with the word, they are doing their own fellowship, and they are in Saudi Arabia healing somebody. So, submit your curriculum of the word to an higher authority. Let an higher authority guide you as to what to read, as to what to fellowship with. I like the way Daddy said it, that Daddy said, don't go looking around for angels so that we will not end up in Yaba left. Daddy said, please don't go looking around for angels. And seriously, just keep pursuing God. So even if I thought you're staying with the word, before you go and see some, because I discovered that some demons, they'll come and visit you there. Why you stayed with the word? If you are not careful, you can veer off from there. You have encounters and you hold on to your encounters. I remember this angel thing, I don't like, it gets me scared. I remember from Gadites in school, Daddy will warn us. Sure, don't even go there. Don't go and buy books. Don't read it. And I remember I think my final year was at ESCO. And I had some brethren in ESCO's meeting. They'd be throwing different dimensions. I'll be very scared. Thank God I had Pastor Nia as my roommate then. I will be very scared when I come back from ESCO's meeting. I'll be hearing my own angel said, hey, I knew it. I don't have the word. I don't have, but I just knew. I think we should calm down here. To the extent that one of the brothers even said the angel is disturbing him in class. He could not listen to lecture and just, Just from there, I knew that, there's something wrong. It was like the angel did not allow you to do your classwork. He's hitting your head, So I was so scared. I was like, I think I don't want this angel. I don't want anybody that will be hitting my head in public. That was how I ran away from it. But I now discover that as our parents teach, they tell us, submit your dealings. Praise God. Even what you perceive as God is dealing with, submit your dealings to authority. That book, don't just pick up any book in a bookshop and start reading it. There was a time I was almost falling into, I was reading this Chinese Art of War. I think I was... He took Pastor, let me mention him, Piyom. Piyom read, caught that book with me. I remember then in school. He just collected it and threw it. I think we're in Jaja Hall. He threw it from the top floor. He just threw it away. And you know, Jaja, anything comes down, it washes away. So he was like, what are you reading? You're not supposed to be reading something like this. So did they recommend this to you in the fellowship? If they did not recommend it, is the fellowship selling this book? He just collected it. I was angry. But at the same time, I'm thanking him. My soul is thanking him. So even if at all you are reading the word or you are fellowshiping with any material, please let authority, let them be carried along so that we will not go and encounter demons, not go and encounter spirits and you come back and be fighting. This is my revelation. This is my angel. Is it your angel? It's my angel. My angel told me this and it will be a loggerhead with whatever the Lord is doing in the church. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise Jesus. I think that is very, very worthy of note. The world of the spirit is very volatile. As much as we are spiritual people, it is not only the Holy Ghost, and it is not the only angels of light that are in the world of the spirit. You must know that. Amen. Corinthians 14 says, there are many voices, and there is no voice without signification. Sincerely, in that place, you can pick anything. That's why we just don't send you on spiritual assignments, spiritual adventures. Do you understand? Your first place of labor is to be established in the world and be guided by authority so that you don't miss it. Because you can hear many things. Many of them, it will take eye judgment to even know that this is not God. Because some of them will look so much like the Lord that it is unto you. Sometimes you'll have journeyed years. Years. I remember talking about books. Egin said, was talking about one of the foremost ministers that he met during his day. He said, this guy has the largest library he has ever seen. Largest personal library. He said, but when discussing with him, he said, the man said, he read some books that never left his life the same again. I read that story when I was in school. And I remember going to my school fellowship to go and, it was even school fellowship. You know, they put all manner of books there. I wanted to pick a book and Holy Ghost said, don't touch it. Don't touch it. I was like, this is Christian library now. He said, don't touch it. Don't touch it. It took years before I read. Some of us, the books we read have damaged us to the place where we are now. Sincerely. Because they are not just words. They are vomit of spirit. They are what? Vomit of spirit. And come, the things that you fellowship are not ordinary. They expose you. Like, just like there's no sound without signification. There's no material that doesn't carry his own spirit. And when you fellowship with it long enough, you meet the spirit that actually vomited those things. Are you understanding? We must be very, very, that's why it's good for somebody to guide you. Somebody whose feet is also guided. Paul said, follow me as I follow because there are spirits that transform. Is there, even Satan is transforming himself to be a minister of light and his angels. So this matter of salvation, if you are not careful, you fellowship with spirits. In fact, they will have brightness, they will have scriptures. When Satan came to Jesus, what was he quoting? What was he quoting? So that a spirit came to you and began to quote scriptures doesn't mean he's an angel of light. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you need a lot of wisdom and discretion. And that's why we are talking about encounters. Encounters. Oh. I've had encounters. And there was one, I didn't even dare to tell my wife. Because, yes, I didn't even dare to tell her. Because these encounters are so real, I think it was about 3-4 years ago. Let me just say it. Sorry, I'm interrupting. He told me I was going to die. And this kind of die is not the death of, it's not fear. I mean, it came with peace. Prepare your house. It's time to go. Yes. As in, it came like that. Tell you what to do. I think at around that time, I was asking you concerning life insurance. You didn't even know why I was. I was asking you concerning life insurance. He said, I was still working there. He said, it came with so much peace. And yes, gather yourself together. Make provision for this. Make provision for this. Make everything. That thing lasted for weeks. It was going into months. Because it tied to experiences years before, the things that it seems as if the Lord had said, everything just seemed so aligned. I was having visitations concerning it. It was the only thing that I knew that I like. Ah! In fact, there are things that one day I was just impressed upon my head. Discuss with Pastor Tokpe. Discuss with Pastor Tokpe. So I called Pastor Tokpe. I said, Pastor Tokpe, you see, this is what has been happening. And I just said, let me let you know, because he said, He said, he now began to tell his own story. When his own came, he said he was at, they went for to Joss for outreach. He said that thing followed him for weeks. It was as if, prepare your house, you are going to go now. I said, okay, it has come to you too. He said, yeah. He now started sharing that really that thing followed him, that it was on the last day they were supposed to return that thing finally broke. And it was after he spoke to Pastor Daddy Eguchukwu also concerning his own. He didn't come with dread and fear. You know that fear? No, this one is peace. He came with every gentleness, Now, after talking, immediately after I finished talking to him, it was as if that veil of light around that spirit just broke down. Just so that this is Satan. But he wanted you to accept it and embrace it, receive it. Because if you don't receive it, I'm like, Now, some spirits, I just said that to say, some spirits, it takes age for you to know that this is Satan. This is Satan. And you could almost defend it because it didn't come with the normal fear, the normal terror. It didn't come. It even came with counsels to even prepare how to set your house in order, how to provide. You know, it came because they laid this one down for LC, do this one. So the brethren, such this. I said, it came with so much wisdom and that really, 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 you have finished your assignment. It's time to go. Amen. Now, it can be many things. Some people, their persuasion is concerning doctrine. The angel in quotes, the encounter will lead them concern submit. One of the things that you know is that thing would not fulfill all the laws of the spirit. Submission to brethren, submission to authority. That thing will not fulfill it. Let light shine on it. Let it be proven. When you allow it to be proven, that one of the judgments that the Lord gave us early is that anything that refused to be tried and tested, suspect it. Yeah. You discover that that revelation doesn't want you to submit it to be proven. It doesn't want you to prove it. That thing, it thrives in secrecy. He's already violating the law of life. But because you are there's self inside of you that it also thrives on, you hold it as you feel unique. You feel that You are holding on to something precious that nobody else has. Don't let Satan kill you. Authorities are not there to, they are not a terror to good works. Romans 13 says, they are not there to kill your vision. They are there to support it. Brethren are there to aid it, to aid it, to help you to attain. So when you are submitted to brethren in light, and the first one is apprehensive about it, second one is apprehensive, and everything, if body seems to be antagonistic to your vision, then it is actually, you are running with the vision of Satan. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Learn to submit. Then I wanted to say something about this issue of prophecy and, sorry, warring with prophecy and everything. You see, prophetic utterances are utterances of the Lord that are first and foremost tied to vessels. That's 2 Chronicles 20:20. It says, believe the Lord that God will prosper. Believe his prophets, you will be established. Believe his prophets, you will be you'll prosper. The same thing, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 13. Isaiah 12, 13 says that by a prophet, they were brought out of Egypt. By a prophet also, they were preserved. There are vessels that are important in prophecies. You must descend them. You must descend them. However, where I want to clarify here is the part of doing something or worrying with prophecy. Because the first part is even believing it. Believing it, believing the vessel. Believing the vessel that's through, either through which the prophecy came or through which the prophecy is going to be fulfilled. Because you need to be discern the two vessels. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You need to discern the vessel through which the prophecy came, that is believing it, and then discern the vessel through which the prophecy will be fulfilled. Because if you don't discern it, you would also not see the fulfillment. But the most important aspect is the worry with prophecy. But many people think that worry with prophecy is just about prayer. But it's not. That Timothy said, First Timothy chapter 1:18. Quickly. Because many of us have prophecies that has been given to us personally, corporately, individually, and we need to know this. Sorry, I'm taking your time. He said, this charge I commit thee unto son Timothy, according to what? The prophecies that went before thee, that thou mightest by them war a good warfare. What's the next, what's the punctuation mark there? Semicolon. The next verse. Holding what? Faith. Holding faith. So how do you war? You hold on to something. Faith. Holding faith and what? A good conscience. Which some, having put away concerning faith, made what? A shipwreck. Then now said, of whom are Imenos and Alexander, who have committed to Satan, not to blaspheme. So, your greatest warfare and the greatest hindrance of Satan against prophecy is not allowing you grow. It's your growth. Many people are focused on the prophecy, rather than the person that they are supposed to be looking up to. Are you understanding? Instead of focusing on growing, you are focusing on the fulfillment of prophecy. And that in itself can constitute a distraction. Are you understanding it?
Yes, sir.
You focus on the prophecy. Now, am I saying you should be oblivious of prophecy? No. What Mary did was she hid it in her heart and continued journey. Learn to hide it and continue journey. Let what? Hide it and continue what? Otherwise, you will fall into this another temptation of self-fulfillment. You will work it out by your own energy. Because the person that said it, he didn't say it so that you can do it. He is the one that will do it. But how he will do it, keep journeying. What you need to do, he will tell you. As you are journeying. But you only miss out on what you do when you are not journeying. The little details that, like Banjo was talking about, you get it as you are journeying. Promptings of the Spirit in your heart that are essential. You will not even know that it is essential until you have done it and it begins to tie up to what he has said before. Do you understand it? But I see many people, because a prophecy has come, they will not stay on the mountain. Go, go, go. You waste your time. You waste your time. If there is any prayer that you should be, is to be able to hold faith, to be able to hold good conscience, to be able to grow according to the timelines of the Spirit. If you continue growing, that word will meet you. That's why Satan's greatest warfare is to stunt your growth, to hinder your movement upward. Because sometimes he can distract it by the same prophecy that you heard. By the same prophecy that you heard. So, one discipline you must exercise yourself, fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the original prophecy. Every prophecy that comes, fix your eyes on him. Fix your eyes on him. Keep growing. Keep growing. Keep laboring for growth. Holding on to faith here is not just stay believing. It is upward movement, journey. He said, hold on to faith and good conscience. Hold on to faith. This faith is that he's talking about is not believing. It is a life. The just shall live by faith. So as you continue living the life of faith, holding on to that, every word will come. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Every word. He said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return void. You provide the things that sent it, accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. Do you understand it? So we must know how to walk. But you can't journey in faith without prayer. That's the balance. So I didn't say don't pray. But what you are praying for is not for the fulfillment of prophecy. Primarily. Are you understanding it? What you are praying for is not primarily, because I've seen people who have also stayed on fulfillment and there. That's where time for spirits come. Because you want to self-actualize the prophecies that the spirit starts coming to you. You are not growing. You are not growing. You want to self-actualize. You want to, and you are, because you are not growing, you are not also sensitive to timings in the spirit. So, spirit, Satan knows that this is what has filled your mind. So he says a spirit in disguise. I want to fulfill this word now. Then you see it that God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Because somewhere your eyes is filled with the prophecy. For example, someone money is coming. Like they said, money is coming. Money. My money must come now. My money must come now. And Satan knows that what you are more filled with the prophecy of money than journey. And he brings somebody that has the money, but there is no judgment to design that. This is not what the Lord says. This manifestation doesn't align with the arrangement of God because it doesn't tie up to the eventual prophecy. Covetousness takes over the soul. Then every opportunity for money becomes a fulfillment of prophecy. So if we are not careful, Satan will cheat us. Are we understanding what I'm saying? So we must learn skill of warfare. And the skill of warfare is staying in faith. Sometimes you see our parents, they'll start teaching a revelation again. It's not because we are not wise. Some of the things that heaven has said around us, if we focus on it, we'll derail. We'll derail. But we'll stay there. Then we'll start waiting on the tides of the Spirit. When they said Mary kept it, it's not as if we forget. We archive prophecy. Sometimes you watch it so that you'll be mindful, but you know where you have, where the heart is focused on. So that the reason why we put it in our hearts, that so that when the Lord begins to move in that, we can be sensitive to the movement of the Spirit for the fulfillment of what he said ahead. Hope we understand. So that we can use prophecy very well for growth. And when the fulfillment comes, we discover that it is aiding our advancement in God. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Okay. So, I'm going to try and merge two questions in one so that we can maybe run a bit faster. So, there was Pastor Emeka was emphasizing the essence of being built right or raised right. And I think this is in tying to that Colossians 2 scripture where beware of, is it the rudiments of this world or something like that? You know, and it was now, he also then mentioned, you know, the Pharisees. He said, he was saying, you know, that even we can be either raised by Christ or the traditions of this world also can raise a man. Philosophy can raise a man. You know, it now then meant to, you know, the same law, like looking at the Bible, Old Testament, the same law that raised the prophets that were, you know, instrumental to, you know, some of the things we see in scriptures is the same law, you know, that the Pharisees read and Jesus called them brood of vipers. And another person read the same law, you know, the Lord was able to use such a person. You know, can you maybe shed some light or examples around, you know, light that has, I'm sure you've been in these waters for quite some time. Light has come. Can you give light to what does traditions of this world even mean? What are some rudiments of this world? When you mentioned, you know, you were about to read a book, I'm guessing that you would have, you know, encountered some words that were not after truth or after Christ, you know. So what are some things that, you know, you've been raised with, maybe from your parents' house, from, you know, our natural learnings, you know, that the Lord had to break apart? And, you know, what was the process like for you?
Praise the Lord. Okay. Concerning, you know, I said earlier that I was kind of arranged differently. In short, my eyes was not even opened to it until I came around the waters, until I started encountering the word. I didn't know that this is wrong. I didn't know that this is not supposed to be. But all my life, this is how I've always been. And the people around me has always validated it. It's good. At least continue. Now, that scripture that says you are quickened, were dead in trespasses. I was somebody that, let me say number one thing I knew that coming closer into these waters, I was not raised with family life. I'm not saying this to disgrace my parents, but there was a way they raised us in such a way that you, your head, and your problem. Sometimes some things are even happening in the house and I don't have anything to say about it. So nobody questions me. Nobody asks for my opinion. Nobody wants my input. Nobody even knows if I know anything about it. I remember there was a time my elder sister was trying to write diploma after we have paid. Then, you know what happens now, all these scammers, as they were running around family such a way that they will recover the money. It's none of my business. I was just going all about doing my own. Today's day, I remember that was the time I wanted to even do my ballet. I was even shouting at my mother that my VS suit, you should go and buy it too. I must not be looking different from every other person. But then, that's the first thing I knew that I encountered coming close to the word here, yeah, that everything begins from the family. Everything starts from the family. In short, the essence of the word is for the family. You find out that no matter how high the revelation you hear, yeah, the application is in the family. I didn't really know how to. Actually, I don't even like people putting their mouth in my business so much. I'll say, you see that, not put mouth in your business. Don't put mouth in my business. That's how I was raised. But by the time I went through the foundational class, and with the help of my mommy, Pastor Rose, because I remember mommy used to complain, you go out too much. You go to a lot of places, and trust me, I don't even know. I just know that people invite me or something shows up, I go and catch up. So that was the first conversation. And I know that the Lord helped to get rid of in such a way that I became a family person. I knew that somebody's issue is my issue. Praise God. We go through it together. I don't act like it doesn't concern me, or I don't act indifferent. So far, it's not me. So that was the first thing I knew that the Lord helped me to break how I was raised. We're not raised family. In short, to the extent that I can count how many clothes that we had as a family. I don't know. We don't used to have. I remember then, everybody buys their things separately, even if I thought somebody bought wrongly. But I knew that when I came close to the water, the Lord started telling me that, okay, you have to pay attention. Till now, the Lord is still teaching me. Till now. Because I can be impatient sometimes. I can be self-seeking. Or I can be like a lackadaisical about some things till now. So I know that number one thing that the Lord used to break some was family. Teaching me family life. You have to be concerned for people. Then, growing up, I discovered that, okay, there is a way that you support people. Me now, I don't like supporting people and carrying their problem on my head until I see the Lord bringing commandments in that regard. In short, concerning my own money, self, my own things, and the Lord will say, no, they are not. In short, I remember I fought with the Lord, maybe it's me that worked for this thing. Let me enjoy that. The Lord will say, in short, before salary comes, the Lord had highlighted the things. And I remember listening to Mommy Ellie's message. He will say that you cannot see and say you do not see. The Lord will open your eyes and you start seeing it. In short, you start seeing places. So sometimes I will just sit down and say, oh, somebody worked now. Somebody cannot enjoy his money. And I remember the Lord dealt with me with something. I think my final year, something happened then. I think the brethren cooked. Maybe they waste the food stuff, or they cooked. They didn't waste it. They cooked it. And I didn't expect it to finish. I think Pastor Nick, I remember. I didn't expect it to finish. So that day, money now came. So as money came, I just said, this money, I'm going into using it to buy perfume. I like perfume. If I enter that class today, they must know that somebody bought a new perfume. Just before, I don't know, before I got to the hostel, the Lord now said, buy Gary. They say, buy Gary for the same set of people that will finish it again. So I was like, okay, let me buy the Gary. But I bought the Gary. I felt I obeyed. But do you know where I wrecked it? When I got to the room, I just dropped the Gary. That's the Gary again. All of you drink it. Before I climbed my bed, that thing just took my other. Oh, Gaju. After the warfare, you now go to the end where the reward is, and you now gave it to them, like, drink this Gary again, no? So that was the first thing, that was the first encounter I had with, okay, parting away with my carnal needs. So I was not raised like that. I used to have my things for my, I don't share my things. My brother is laughing. I remember one in the house that we used to share shoes, and he wore the shoe to construction site. By the time he came back, oh my God. I remember, so that was the things I knew I learned to drop some traditions, some conversation. There are a lot. This is how we do things in my house. I started learning to consider people. Oh, don't let us do it this way. Don't let us do it. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you can end up seeing me not saying one thing. But trust me, a lot is going on in my head. Like I'm looking like, why is this thing? Like this thing is slow. This thing is this. But somehow the Lord used the tool of the word of righteousness to take that away from me. So my advice is that everybody should allow the word. Sometimes it may look as if things want to crash. Sometimes it may look as if this is not how they do things where I'm coming from. Sometimes it may look like, okay, You people want to disgrace me, Abi? Because if I am part of you, then obviously disgrace is my own. No. Allow the Lord to break traditions. Allow the Lord to break ways. There are ways in us that, in short, you may not know, but as you cooperate with the Lord, He will start exposing it to you. You may need to grow before you see that, ah, this thing is wrong. I don't have to do it this way. Even when I was planning for my wedding, I remember how I'm a proactive person. In short, I can just carry my jotter and draft and map out things. And the word kept saying, trust God. Trust the Lord. It was as if I was too slow. I was too slow. To the extent that I will have money and I have to trust God for direction on what to do with the money. And I don't know how to hold money. Like, there's always something to do with it. So those are traditions that I know that the Lord came for directly. It was not easy for me to obey. I won't say that I actually immediately I started doing it, but it took time before I knew that, okay, this is how we, like, last scripture that pastor read to us, like, carefully, just keep on doing the things that you are doing before what the Lord has said. You just find out that there will be grace to overcome these things. Thank you.
Thank you so much, bro. Okay. I think one thing that I just want to quickly add is that how the traditions of this world or the rudiments, philosophies have raised us might be different. Another family, you know, Brokwe said his own family were very individual. There can be another family that they are so close knit and tied together that it doesn't now make sense. Like, why do I need to? Like, it's like I do for my family, but when it comes to now stretching to now do outside of the knit that they form, they can't do it. And then the Lord will now bring light and say, you're supposed to also do for even people that you don't know, because this is a family. You know, this is also a family under God, you know. And that's when, you know, the Lord wants us to break out of that blood tie somewhere. If you can, you know, Pastor Tosin was always the one. I remember when Pastor Tosin come, he always attacks blood ties, I've noticed. You're tied to your natural family. I remember when he came last year, in my mind, I'm like, this was... I really just crossed over it in my mind. I'm like, nah. You know, and another person might just be, because in fact this thing happened the other day. Somebody invited someone to, you know, a party. And then the person says, if the person doesn't tell her, she's not going. You know, somewhere it can just be, I like minding my business. That's how you've been raised. But the fact that you've heard, you found out, the Lord can instruct you, go for that thing. That thing has happened to me before. They raised us very, all of us, mind your business, stay in your house. I don't used to go out. It's like going out. You know, so when I found out in my mind, I'm like, they didn't tell me. I know. I mean, that's enough. You know, that's when you're raising fences. Well, they didn't tell me. It makes sense. Nobody told you, like, why are you going to another person's party that they did not invite you? Well, I didn't understand why the Lord was saying, you've heard, go and support them. You know, so the thing is different. It might be different for all of us. So when the Lord shines the light, let's ensure that we are, you know, letting the light of Christ. Because that scripture says, you know, beware, lest this thing spoil you. And it helps us. The scripture showed that it is after, you know, it is of the world and not after Christ. You know, so I know that they're already raising us after the truth that is in Christ Jesus. These things can still come and spoil us if we are not careful. It might come from, you know, even sometimes is this Yoruba or fable. You know, all those tribalistic, it's rooted inside of the world, rudiments of this world, traditions of men. When you look at it, mommy, where did you understand this thing? Like, where is it in scripture? You can't find it. You know, so these are some things that as we stay under this administration of the word of righteousness, light is always going to come to reprove those things, and we must allow it. Even down to how we raise our children. We want to do it like our parents did it. But the Lord is like, no, you have to, you know, do it in a different way, you know. So I trust that the Lord will help us.
Thank you so much, Tawura. Thank you, Bope. I just want to remind us to write questions. Okay, we have a few questions, but you can still bring more. If you have anything bothering you or bugging you, it's better for us to decode it now. And we can get solutions to it. You know, I want to ask Banjo. So Pastor Emeka said something that I would like to relate to our Sunday school today. He mentioned that a person, it's very possible for a person to love revelation, but not submit to the demands of revelation. And, you know, it takes me back to, you know, the parable of the sower. You know, how the sower was planting different seeds and some fell in different types of soil. And obviously, they didn't yield fruit. But one particular one that fell into a good soil was able to yield fruit. So, you know, it's very possible that we are people, you know, we're a mixed multitude, are people that, you know, are really, everybody likes revelation. I mean, if I give anybody, even down to Ifeti Baba Mike now, to share something, they will say something. Because we are hearing. I mean, you cannot say that you will be in WTV from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. and you cannot say one thing. Everybody is able to share. Everybody can share. Forget the shyness. Bro Manjo could not raise his head before, but he has raised his head. You know, everybody, there's something that everybody has to share. At least we are hearing now. Everybody has brain that can process information. So it's very possible for us to receive, you know, sharing, you know, but that's one aspect. Another aspect is submitting to what that sharing that you are sharing is actually, because every word comes with demands. It's the demands that converts it from precept to lines. They've taught us in Sunday school. Go and hear it again. You know, so I don't know if you've ever been caught in a situation where, you know, cause that's supposed to be personal, you. The other time I attended meeting, there was a period where I was really in love with revelation, like revelation knowledge. Wherever is teaching, I'm always excited. I'll carry my jota, I'll write down, I'll go back with my friends, I'll share. Then the Lord now came. Well done. You know, so when that well done just came with a flash of different memories of how I'm not doing this revelation, like different places that I was disobedient in. So I don't know if there are places where you found that, I love revelation. I like hearing these things. But when the demands come, because very, very, very funny, the demands of these things are very subtle and you can easily miss it. They are very, very subtle. So I don't know if you can share experiences where you had been in that position that you enjoy, everybody enjoys meetings. If we don't enjoy meeting, we'll not be sitting down here. I mean, since 8 a.m., people have done up to 7 services by now, but this is just one service. If you don't enjoy revelation, you will not be sitting down. So everybody loves revelation. So I don't know if you found, maybe the Lord has convicted you of situations where the Lord just drew your attention to see that, you are actually not submitting to the demands of this revelation. So if you have found yourself in those shoes before, how were you able to repent? You know, this is a season of repentance so that you can help us, all of us can repent together.
Okay, thank you. Let me just begin by saying, we are, of course, as revelation people, it means we are born again, right? So we are not saved by doing, but we are saved to do. Okay, so not of works, lest any man boast. We didn't do anything. We just acknowledge Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart. And the Bible says we are saved. As a matter of fact, I even believe the commandment in the New Testament are more than that of the old, because there's always something to do. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto every good work. So there is always a work to do. All right. So for every revelation, as Mommy Ellen would say, there is a commandment. A recent example for me was, I got a new clothes, right, from the tailor. And I stayed with my junior brother. He was about going back to school. So I told him to collect it from my brother, Bro Tunde. And so he was going to school that same day. He was just supposed to drop the clothes for me, take his stuff and go to school. It was on a Sunday. So he took the, and I was going for a wedding that week. So that was how he took the clothes and went to school with it. It was like Brotunde gave him clothes to Alpha. I need the clothes for wedding. I sold it for that purpose. And you just took it just like that. And I was very mad, very sad. In middle of all my, you know, being furious and all that, I felt something within that just calmed down. I arranged how it will get back and all that. But I just wish he was there physically, like I even slap him. Because it was very, very annoying, actually. I had to spend money to pay transport person to bring it back and all that. I just keep thinking, he was begging that he didn't know that. He thought he'd get... Those things were not entering. It was just the anger that was coming. And afterward, after I got it, I just looked at it and something, it's just like something, I came out of myself and I was talking with myself. Okay, this is the cloth you were shouting about. So I looked stupid and foolish actually that time. And it just convicted me that I could have still, you know, maintained calmness and patience, you know, and most of the times, some of the things that cause anger and, you know, rivalry and all of that, if you just come and obey the Spirit, you would talk it through and everything will be fine. So as revelation, as people or a person of revelation, I believe we should always look out for how we can depict that. And I can't remember who was saying it recently that we are the word of righteousness to somebody out there. We are the example of it. So how would they know that there's something called word of righteousness that God is doing here if we are not living it? So it's not just by saying it or explaining it as it were. Of course, it begins from there. But then we should ensure to a greater extent that this thing, I really want to, as a matter of fact, all of the exercises I engage in, okay, the what is it called? Workforce and everything. I just even check my heart that, okay, do I have anything I am secretly anticipating as a reward? You know, that, oh, let not it be that it's because of that thing I'm diligent here. No. Let it just be that I'm doing it because of the hope that has been painted to us that this is what we have in return for it, eternal life, the hope. So I constantly check my heart in all of that because I can use revelation even to the law. We said it earlier that was a message to some people in the old times, was something else to the Pharisees and all that. So It just boils down to all of us understanding the why. Why are we getting this revelation, actually? If we constantly remind ourselves the reason for the hope of the revelation we are hearing and explaining, I think we can always move past the order of that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brabanjo. We've received two questions, but we have one more question from our end before we take this. Towards the end of Pastor Emeka's ministration, it was letting us see that, you know, even the word of righteousness, you know, can bless our natural, it's not just our spiritual and us growing the spirit. He now started to say things about, you know, wealth transfer, you know, believers be placed in places of influence, things like that, you know, and for, you know, it's, you know, that the truth is, as we're following the Lord, it's not every seeming ambition that has been dealt with. So I think for some of us, we're like, well, this thing is inside following Jesus. Thank God that they did not remove this one, you know. So I think my question is, I'll just ask Brabanjo. Brabanjo, what should be our art posture as we are waiting for this world transfer?
Wow.
Wow.
So, honestly, I was equally happy when when Pastor said it that day. I was happy, you know. They start calling us to Abuja. I was following Jagaba to take pictures, you know. I know that. Well, the message has not changed, and it will not change. In hope of eternal life, which God promised. So whether we are in the word transfer stage, whether we are in the revelation stage, whether we are in church, whether we are in market, whatever our location is, our heart posture is still to await the appearing of the Lord in any instance. I believe that should ring constantly. We should not get so carried away with the euphoria of whatever tied to whatever, you know, position we get into. You know, I've, by the provision of God's mercy, you know, met with certain people in cadres of life, and I'm like, I'm a one day, you know, and all that, and how people can literally enjoy money, as it were. Then I also just have to remind myself that, no, this life should still be seen here. Even though I may not have met totally the demand of it, even in that instance, but there's still a consciousness, a reminder that no matter where I get to, no matter what position I'm holding, I should still seek the Lord. You know, it also comes to mind that whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whatever status anybody is, it is still faith towards God that should still be the order for anybody. So you will not, one will not get to any level that you will not need God again. Whether you are very in abundance, in low supply, whatever level. So when the word transfer come, as it has been said, the heart posture is just to still seek for the Lord. There's this song I'm trying to remember now. I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk in your way. So I just believe that should be the heart posture. Whether there is abundance, whether there's, you know, that should be the heart posture of seeking the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Robert, do you want to add something? Just something short.
I think we, after seeking the Lord, I saw this, I found this in my heart. We should learn to sow. We should learn to sow seeds. We should learn to sow. I discovered that a lot of us, we don't know how to. We should learn to identify places where the Lord will need our carnal substances. We should learn it. It's a culture in the spirit to sow. Nothing should be too big to disperse with when it comes to the Lord. Nothing is too big. This wealth transfer, it will come. But at the same time, it should meet us in the right state of heart. Or else, we would overuse it. Amashilu, that's how Yoruba would put it. We should learn to sow. We should learn to identify places. Trust the Holy Ghost to show you avenues where you can part away with your carnal substances. Because I discover that most young people, it's just for me and enjoyment for me and for myself and for my family. We should trust God to see places where we can put those carnal substances. I think there's a need. A need arises in church. Let me, even if I thought there is no money in your pocket, but you have that attitude already that, Lord, I want to support, yeah. It's my desire to do that. And again, Ecclesiastes chapter, I think, 9 says that whatever your hands find, we should do it. I remember one community service where pastor said that with the work you are doing, can you pay yourself? That thing caught me because I look at my own attitude at work and I discovered if I am the CEO, obviously I will not pay myself shishi with the way I'm doing. If anybody come and try that with me, no, you're not going with anything. So whatever our hands find, let's strive for excellence. Word of righteousness does not say that we should remain mediocres. Whatever it is that we are doing, whatever it is, I'm not just saying that white collar jobs. Some of us were at home and we are working more than we that we are going to work. When it comes to taking care of the house, it's work. It's a serious job. Whatever it is, let's strive for excellence. Don't let us do it for, let me just do it for doing sake. Let's make sure that that thing is proper. Its quality increases, not decreases at our own time. Those are art states for this wealth transfer. You can't say that you are expecting the Lord to bring blessing to your wealth and all these stuff, but you don't have the right resources to manage them. I pray that we would be good stewards in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, brother. So we have two questions from the audience and our job here is done. Okay. So the first question says, we have the scripture, the person is referencing the scripture, believe in my prophet and ye shall prosper. So the person is saying, is my natural life or my natural prosperity also tied to my pastor? And then the second question is, Barakpe said prophecy won't be fulfilled except if understanding dawns. Now, in cases of commandment, we have heard it being said that we should obey even when we do not understand. Can we truly obey commandments without understanding its intricacies? So, I don't know. So we humbly call on our pastor to help us.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Can we appreciate them? Amen. It's not easy. It's not easy. The truth is, number one, what do you define as natural prosperity? If it's just to increase in material wealth, any fool can do that. Any fool can do that. I said sometimes, yeah, the more you learn light, you discover it's easy to make money. Money is one of the easiest things to make in life. One of the easiest things. Any fool can prosper materially. Doesn't take much. Sincerely. So when scripture is talking about prosperity, it's not talking about just increase in material wealth, even though God gives you power to make wealth. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And the prosperity that God is talking about is wholeness, wholesomeness, that you prosper in your soul, you prosper in your body, you prosper in every wise. Are you understanding? That is, you receive grace. Prosperity is actually grace to move forward. Are you understanding? So the issue is this, can you increase in material wealth without losing an ounce of life? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Can you increase without trading off your most valuable possession? Now, to be able to do that, or can you abound, can you be in a state of want and yet you are not diminishing in life? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, to be able to do that, you need to be guided in the way of the Lord. That's why church is not primarily a financial seminar session where what we teach you is principles of success. Richest man in Babylon. No, that's not what we teach here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? What we teach here, that's why you see the sequence in which John 2 says it. Is that I wish above all things that thou mayest was prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So you see that the crux of the thing is soul prosperity, because the scripture still remains undisputed. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Are you understanding? That your soul is your most valuable commodity. Now, you cannot prosper in your soul and also natural managing it. Because if it's about prospering naturally, people have been prospering before. In fact, the children of Cain actually had increased materially, even before the generation of Adam. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But the issue is this, what trade-off are you selling? Are you understanding? That there is a trade-off. Many of those that are prospering without, it is at the expense of their soul. They are trading some more valuable commodity, which is life. Are you understanding it? They are trading more valuable commodity. One of the things that God will guarantee is that you prosper in your soul first. And that's why you cannot do it outside of the oversight of shepherds, because they will lead you in places where your soul will prosper and point you to loopholes or places where your feet can sleep. And really, by the time you start learning, like, you see that it is not every place that looks green and flourishing that you go to. Now, you know, the way the world does their prosper is this. You don't take anything without it. How many of us have been following IG Live? We should be following it, though. You know, they are treating betting and this. Now, if betting, gambling, everyone, especially we young people, everybody should be following IG Live. Now, one of the things that the world does is that without risk, you don't achieve anything. So the world keep trying until you make it. Are you understanding? Keep what? Keep trying until you make it. Because if you that, they teach you that without risks, no reward. Is that not it? No risks, no reward. So keep trying it. You're telling failure is not final, success is not whatever, all those motivational speak. Failure is not. Anyway, you understand what? So they teach you. And all those exercise is to belabor the soul. Eventually, you will break through. But one of the things that the Lord teaches you is how to wait. You don't do trial and error. You go on instruction. But you also must understand the instruction of God. The instruction of God doesn't mean that you will get it right. The instruction of God is for salvation. The instruction of God is not poised at you so that, you know, that I'm waiting so that the time I now, God now is leads me, you just get it. Bah! No, you can get it and you fail. But the goal is not that you are trying. What God is training you at is not training you to get it. He's training you in the path of salvation. So whether you get it or not, that's not the primary goal. What they are exercising you onto is salvation. But when it is time to get it, they don't do trial and error. They give you instruction, then you get it. Are you understanding it? By leading. So the part of the spirit is not life is full of risk. You are running with worldly ideology. The Lord, here in this economy, it is by the leading of the Spirit. The Lord is the one. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I would not want. He leadeth me beside what? Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yes, I skipped something there. Amen. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside sea water. So it is by leading. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Every single thing that we come into that seems to be a kind of material wealth, it is the Lord. And God doesn't do that exclusively without the guidance of people we have placed ahead of us. So we have a form of guidance or not. So now, the guidance doesn't mean that it's only your pastor that must speak it. Are you understanding? Doesn't mean that everything is your pastor that will pick it. Sometimes it is in submission. Most of itself, it is you that will pick it yourself as you are being led. But the guidance is for safety. Okay, is this thing as I'm seeing it? Oh, it is good. Go ahead. Do you understand it? It is good. Go ahead. It is good. Go ahead. Like David went, shall I run? Will I overtake? Will I surely recover? Then the Lord said, don't worry, go. Surely you will overtake. You will recover everything. It is about that caution of safety. Do we understand it? So, in life, they want us to act. The Lord will still lead us into places where material wealth will come to us. But the Lord is doing it for this, amidst the safety of a greater treasure and a greater hope, which is the hope of eternal life. That must not be lost and cannot, must not be traded for anything whatsoever. Do we understand it? But as concerning our natural, let our hearts rest. God's thoughts for us are much more than adequate. Do we understand it? What God, he said, I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg bread. Our natural is covered. I want us to be persuaded about it. I want you to be persuaded that God has got my natural sorted out. Satan mustn't intimidate or harass anybody's mind concerning the natural. You know, Satan will look at you and swear and say, Wadeya, Wadeya, Bata, your Bata will call V. You know, some people, the shoe have turned to, instead of a flat, OTD, greater than, less than. When you put them together, one is greater than, one is less than. He said, you, your own will be worse than that. That, you are to jetaya. On my PT, don't back on back when you tire. You know, so you just be apprehensive. Your fear will catch you. That, look, your landlord will throw your load out. Wallahi. They tell you to take opportunity. You are saying you are waiting on the Spirit of the Lord. You are waiting on the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, they will throw your, when you get married, you will pack and go and pack inside your pastor's house. You see. Let's bet it. Let's bet it. You know, some of those things, Satan just uses you to threaten you. Threaten him back. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Satan uses it to threaten you. And those things are precious to make you to take steps outside of the leading of the Spirit. If you say you go and lead, say, in fact, we'll spend 1 month vacation. In fact, two months, 3 months vacation. In fact, if you continue like this, after our wedding, we'll spend 1 year there. You can't even have a reasonable discussion with this one. Because he knows that you have signed somewhere. Yes. You know that you can't have reasonable discussion. Because he knows that you won't reason at the same frequency. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Don't allow Satan to harass you. Especially with thoughts of poverty. You are going to be well taken care of. Go and check the life of everyone that trusted in God. They are like watered gardens. So don't allow that harassment concerning your nature. Let it rest. Even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your sufficiency is of God. Are you understanding?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, concerning the second question.
Prophecy won't be fulfilled except by understanding.
Yes, concerning the issue of understanding and obeying God blindly. The truth is this. Some instructions will come to us before light fully breaks out. Now, if we wait to understand fully every instruction before we obey, most of the time, it will be too late. What did I say? If you wait to fully understand an instruction before you obey, most of the time, it will be too late. Now, I also now know that the full fellowship of an instruction will not also dawn. Your full profit from an instruction will not come until understanding of it comes. So, what am I required to do? I'm required to start in faith. That's why when commandment instruction comes, number one, you have people that are ahead of you that you watch their conversation. Are you understanding? You watch their conversation. Some things, you will not understand it until you obey it. Hello? Some things you will never understand it until you obey it. I tell you the truth. The secret of obedience is taking the first step. Then when you take the first step in faith, in rest, a faith response. That faith response is not faith out of persuasion of the mind. It's faith out of the judgment of God. Seeing sometimes people who he has led, or trusting the judgment of people who he has raised ahead of you. That, look, I don't understand this thing, but I know Pastor Moses cannot lie. I know that in every way God has used Pastor Moses to lead me, none of it has been wrong. It is not now that God will be wrong. So I choose to obey in faith. Then as I am now obeying, like, wow, Kai, thank God. If I disobey, that's Pastor Moses' conviction. God has not persuaded me. I'll be a fool. I will have been in unbelief, been in disobedience, until maybe the repercussion of it now comes. Kai, I have been a fool. If I had known, I should have obeyed. At that point, I was not seeing what Pastor Moses was saying, but I was required to just trust his judgment, trust his stature, trust the administration of God over his life, and just take the step. Then, as I do, more light and clarity begins to do. I think my first encounter with such a thing was Daddy Adeboye. You were leading a prayer, and he said, I know many of you do not understand it, but pray it. How do you pray a prayer you don't understand? You know, and this prayer is not speaking in tongues. It's, you know, traditional church. You pray a prayer, you pray in your understanding. How am I supposed to pray a prayer in my understanding, a prayer that I don't understand? But he said, I know many of you do not understand this prayer, but pray it. But that day, I remember I was very young. I like, he was saying something. Evidently, it was over my head, and I can't even remember the prayer. But I know what he said afterward, that I know many of you don't understand this prayer, but pray it. So I stood there in the congregation, and the thing I resolved in my heart is this: if this man, this great man, who has gone to where I have not been, who knows what I don't know, he's saying I should pray, whether I understand it or not, boy, let me pray the prayer. Let the future sort out itself. You know, there's a song that we used to sing. Only come wash me, Lord, just see you safe, Harry. It's one ancient song that, thank God, many of us don't know. Do you understand? So it's a secular song. But they drew a lesson for us there, that they admonished the monkey to say amen to a prayer. He did not say the prayer. Oshu, do the Oshu Opo. Do you understand? That the repercussion of his negligence was severe. That sometimes, your obedience comes before understanding. It is as you obey. That's what Hebrews chapter 10. He said, by faith we understand. So, understanding sometimes doesn't precede the act of faith. You just need to believe. And then understanding will catch up. Then your fruitfulness in that obedience will become abundant. When we come to the full, when understanding has now come to that, then it's like oil and grace has been added to your obedience. Many of us, concerning issues, we started out in faith. We started out in faith. For example, if they are talking about giving, many a time, you can't say experientially the benefit of giving until you have given. But the first act of giving will be an act of faith because someone preached to you. Do you understand? You don't understand the science of it. Then after a while, when you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, by the time you are saying it from the experience and the full benefit of understanding, it's not because someone said it again. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You have fellowshiped with that word. You have gotten benefit as a result of it. It has become your understanding. You have used it as a life. the goodness of it, the profit of it, both spiritual and material, your soul have tasted it. By the time you are talking about it, it's not just out of faith again. You are talking from a place of experience. You are talking out of stature that has been raised by that walking. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, but you wouldn't have gotten to that place if you didn't take the first step of faith. Many places in our journey will be like that. Where we're in, we will be required to obey first. Obey first. Just take the step of faith. Just take the step of faith. And as we obey, more light and breakthrough, understanding will start. Light will start coming concerning those issues or matters, and will come into greater judgment. Are we blessed? Did we understand? Did I answer the question, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Amen. Okay, I didn't know that I was the one tying them now. Okay, praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of us are blessed through this review? Amen. How many of us are happy that wealth transfer? I've forgotten about wealth transfer somewhere. Amen. But how many of you all still believe that money is coming? Money is coming, though. Do you know money is coming? Some people are still not believing again. Yeah, me come and preach to your people. Goke, where is he? Come and preach to your people. I say money is coming. It's true. Believe it. Money is coming. Money is not becoming our message. No. There are righteousnesses that we need to do with it. When it comes, we won't consume it upon our lust. Are you understanding it? We won't consume it upon our lust. There are ordinances that has been set, but money is coming. The Lord is bringing resources. And it's you and I. It will position you in the places where it should be. But like I said, don't focus on the money. Focus on your growth. Do you understand it? Focus in what? And be faithful in unrighteous mammon. Be what? Be faithful in unrighteous mammon. Be faithful in other people's own. When you are faithful in other people's own, they will commit your own into your hands. Are you understanding it? So I'm just telling you ground rules to keep in this season. Faithfulness in other people's business. Things that allow God to commit things into your hand. How you handle other people's own. So, one of the tests that will come in this season is that they'll bring other people's own into your hand and see how you handle it. If you fail that test, they will not be able to commit things into your hand. Amen. They will not be able to commit things into your hand. Then be faithful with unrighteous mammon. Unrighteous mammon. Be faithful. Then true riches will come. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This money is coming. You cannot do anything against it. Sincerely, you cannot do anything against it. But I'm just telling you the principles. The principles to obey. Yes, what you are saying is true. Amen. It's true. Amen. I wish I can preach like those days when we used to preach financial prosperity. But I've come to realize that it is not your jumping and saying it with anointing that makes it happen. It's because God has said it. Yeah. You know, daddy will just say, my daddy said, Blessed are you when you believe it. Do you understand it? It's not the gymnastics that make it powerful. It's that it came from somewhere. Sincerely. So, the reason I'm emphasizing this is because some people still need to be persuaded that God cares about our natural. Like he said, some people don't believe that in this wilderness journey, in this world that is always talking about suffering, hardship, death, iku, and all of that, that's all your message from beginning to the end. But sincerely, resources are coming. Prepare for it. How do you prepare for it? Faithfulness, diligence. You will discover that the Lord will bring waters your way. And you would have judgment to separate waters from waters. Waters that you should not accept, the ones you should accept. Why? Because you'll be prospering in life. Amen. Amen. Are we blessed today? Are we blessed today? I'll say one more thing. There's somebody here. The Lord has been trying to bless you, but you've been running away with your tithe. Yes. You've been running away with your tithe. The Lord has been trying to bless you. You know, we don't preach tithe here. Everybody just obey. But I'm saying it particularly to you. The Lord said he has been trying to bless you. But you. He's warned you the first time. He's warned you a second time. And it's about the third time now. You have been running away with it. This is what he's saying. He would see how that money will save you if you are not careful. That you will see whether that money you are trying to keep can deliver you. Don't be a fool. God is not trying to collect from you. When you realize some of these things, you see, God is more willing to bless you than what is. When he's demanding from you, it's because he wants to give to you. I'm not saying it to everybody. But I feel that there's somebody, I know in my spirit, there's somebody in the house. The Lord said, he's been trying to bless you, but you have been running away with your tithes. So, repent. Otherwise, that money that you are running away with, it will not be able to deliver you in the day of crisis. That's the message that the Lord is saying to you. He said, that money that you are running away with, it won't be sufficient to deliver you in the day of crisis. It won't be sufficient. Can we thank the Lord to this afternoon? Let's just stand.
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church. Or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.